In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's an axiom, which is true, that says, no priest without the Eucharist, and no Eucharist without the priest. That really sums up tonight's liturgy. Any Catholic, if asked what's so special about Holy Thursday for Catholics, we should be able to say right away, there's two things that's so important and special, extraordinary about Holy Thursday. For that is the day that we celebrate the two important sacraments Jesus Christ gave us, that of the Eucharist, the Mass, and that of the priesthood. For you need both. And the Eucharist is the source, center, summit of our Catholic faith. And as we all know, should know, that the Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the real presence. Not just a spiritual presence. Our Lord said, yes, when two or three gather my name, there I am. Spiritually, but in the Eucharist, in the tabernacles, at Mass, when the words are pronounced, this is my body, and which else, this is my blood, he is really, truly there, body, blood, soul, and divinity. He's alive. He's not a dead object, as he told St. Faustina. I'm alive. I'm very much here. I hear you. I see you. And I love you. Now, in the history of the 2,000 years of the Church, our Lord, in His great loving mercy and providence, has had Eucharistic miracles. Now, Eucharistic miracle, what that is, that's a visible sign, something that we know by faith, a visible sign that Jesus is there in the Eucharist. Now, I'll give you one example, and there's many, many, many. It was August 18th, 1996, Father Alejandro Puzet, and Buenos Aires was offering Mass. And after Mass, he was back in the sacristy. A lady came in, sort of frantic, and rightly so, said, Father, Father, I found a host in the back of the church. Looks like it was just discarded there, like someone spit it out. Now, the minute a priest hears those words, the very second, our hearts sink, because priests are guardians of the Eucharist. We confect the sacrament, we're guardians of the Eucharist. That's why, when someone comes up to communion, the priest has to make sure that they're receiving like right up in that area. If you start seeing the walk back, or they don't know what they're doing, right away, the priest has to respond. It could be someone that's not Catholic that shouldn't be receiving, or it could be someone that's going to desecrate the host. I thought once in Canada, there was a gentleman that did that. So he's given this, and he's like, whoa, his heart drops. He goes out there, and he sees the host. It looked like it was spit upon, dirty. So what priests were trained to do anytime that unfortunate thing happens is that we take the host, take our Lord, and we put it like into the bowl of water. And what happens normally is then the host then will dissolve over several days. And then we place it down in the sacrarium, which is a special drain that does not go into the sewer, but right into the ground. And so he takes this host that's been spit out, puts it in this bowl of water, places it in a special tabernacle. And after several days, it comes back. It's not white anymore. It's turned into a bloody mass. And it's bigger. It comes back a couple days, and it's even bigger. So he calls his bishop, and he tells his bishop what's going on. The bishop says, well, for right now, keep the host there. And what happened then, after some time, Cardinal Bergoglio got involved. On October 5th, 1997, in the presence of the Cardinal's representatives, they gave Dr. Castanon a sample of the bloody fragment. Okay, just a little bit, Church's permission here. Since he did not want, okay. So what happens, they give this to the one scientist, and then they bring it to a scientist called Dr. Frederick Zugava, a well-known cardiologist and forensic pathologist. So they did not tell him where this fragment had come from. Okay, this is important that we don't tell you. So he determined then that the analyzed substance was real flesh. So he takes the substance, places it under a microscope, does his test. He determined that the substance was real flesh, blood and blood, the human blood. Quote, this is what he says. Quote, the analyzed material is a fragment of the heart muscle found in the wall of the left ventricle close to the valves. This muscle is responsible for the contraction of the heart. It should be borne in mind that the left cardiac ventricle pumps blood to all parts of the body. He goes on, the heart muscle is in an inflammatory condition. So this is talking about this fragment right here, okay? You already determined it's heart muscle, left ventricle. This heart muscle is an inflammatory condition. It contains a large number of white blood cells. This indicates that the heart was alive at the time the sample was taken. It is my contention that the heart was alive since the white blood cells die outside of a living organism. They require a living organism to sustain them. Thus, and he goes on, thus their presence indicates that the heart was alive and the sample was taken. What is more, as these white blood cells had penetrated the tissue, which further indicates that the heart had been under severe stress, as if the owner had been beaten severely about the chest. Some of you were here. We had the video, Science Test Faith. The story was in there. They interviewed the scientist, and Francis was here. A Eucharistic Miracle, 1996. The scientist, they didn't tell where it came from, but he said, oh, real easy. This heart muscle, left ventricle, this is the part of the muscle that pumps the blood throughout the heart. And wherever this is taken from is live heart tissue. So can you imagine the people hearing this, like, whoa, doctor, do you know where this came from? From a desecrated host. The people who are involved with this, some of our lax Catholics 30 years away, they came back to practice a good sacrament confession. From time to time, our Lord permits miracles like this. He lifts the veil a little bit to say, I'm really, truly here. And you think about that, the heart of God, He gives us His heart. You know, when a husband and wife get married, the two become one, right? They're supposed to be giving their hearts to each other. Think of that image, that God, Holy Thursday night, confesses the sacrament, His body, blood, soul, and vein, but real emphasis on the heart. He gives us His very heart. He gives us His very heart. It's just, if you think about that, the God-man. Now, in the history of the church, all saints have realized this truth that Jesus is the Eucharist. It's in Matthew 26, it's in Mark 14, it's in Luke 22, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, which was read today, John chapter 6, above all, that Jesus said, this is my body, this is my blood. Now, we are Catholic to the degree that we believe those words of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the source, center, summit of our faith. If we don't really, truly believe that, what's going to happen at one time or another in one's faith? They're going to float away. They start, we're not going to Mass on Sundays. Forget weekdays, we're not going then. Then Sundays start floating away. Before you know it, they're not going on because they really don't believe. But He's really there. Now, I want to share a couple stories. There was a priest once who had this real deep Eucharistic faith, okay? His father, Leo Heinrichs, he was a priest who was born in Germany on the Feast of Our Lady, August 15th, 1867. By God's grace and providence, he comes over to the United States. He's ordained a priest, July 26, 1891. His first assignment was in Paterson, New Jersey. Then he was in New York. He's a Franciscan, so he's sent throughout the world, not just a diocese. And then he sent September 23rd, 1907, to Denver. And when he goes out, February 23rd, shortly after he'd been there, less than a year, he's offering Mass on Sunday. And he's going around the communion rail, very reverently holding our Lord and Savior, the body of Christ. Body of Christ. There was an individual there at the communion rail that did not have the love of Jesus in their heart, but Satan had his heart. And guess what happened right when he gave the body of Christ to this one? It was the body of Christ. The gentleman took the host, spit it out, took out a revolver, and shot the priest several times right in the chest area. Now, what this priest does, Father Leo, his first thoughts immediately were to the desecrated host. Now, he's holding the ciborium, and he's really close to a side altar of Our Lady. He's not worrying about the blood that's gushing out all over the place. He's worrying about the Lord God, the Sacred Heart. And so right away he places the ciborium on the side altar of Our Lady so no more hosts are desecrated fall to the ground. And he points to the other priest who gave out communion where the other host was. Now listen to what happens here. It was a singular coincidence that he should have given up his life before the altar of the Blessed Mother. for it had always seemed to him a privilege to have been born and baptized on the day of her Assumption. He also took his religious vows on her feast, the Immaculate Conception. And only a few days before he was shot, when he was young, about 40, only a few days before he was shot to death, he declared in the sermon how sweet it would be to die at the feet of Our Lady with Jesus. That's exactly what happened. What a wonderful grace. I've shared this at weekday mass a couple months ago. But think about that. The living God, He received Jesus. That's really, humanly, people say, well, that's horrible. He was murdered. He was, all the bloody, but what a wonderful death. He dies with Christ in his heart. The hearts are united and at the feet of Our Lady. There's a wonderful book I'm reading. It's about Pope John Paul II, who, as you know, we beatified on Divine Mercy Sunday. And the name of the book is Why Is He a Saint? It talks about one little page, a little excerpt, there's a lot in here about him, about Father Karl Wojtyla. It was way before he was a bishop. And people said he had an extraordinary Eucharistic devotion, which was manifest in long sessions of adoration of the Most Blessed Sacrament. It was not uncommon for Father Wojtyla to spend the night in prayer before the altar, and he would stretch out his arms on the floor like this. And as one eyewitness said, the presence of Christ in the tabernacle allowed him to have a very personal relationship with Him. Not merely to speak to Christ, but actually to converse with Him. Isn't that wonderful? A lot of times we come where we're speaking, no, it should be a conversation. Really and truly, He is speaking to us. Sometimes we don't have the ears to hear, or sometimes we're so distracted, worrying about our problems that we can't hear Him whispering to us, but He's speaking to us. So at a young age, he knew and he believed that Jesus was there and he would enter into conversations. Now, during this Lenten season, what we've been doing, I've been emphasizing the Divine Mercy. And if you've been here a lot of the weekday masses, I'm quoting from the Diary of St. Faustina. I'm going to do that again here tonight, okay, about the Eucharist. Here's our Lord. Our Lord speaking about Holy Communion. My great delight, delight of God. My great delight is to unite myself with souls, with you, with you, with me. When I come into a human heart in Holy Communion, he says, my hands are full of all kinds of graces. Now, these are the hands that created the stars, the universes, right? Everything. Powerful hands. My hands are full of all kinds of graces, which I want to give to souls. There's wonderful graces God has to store, wants to give each and every one of us here tonight. Special grace, especially on Holy Thursday. Especially a deeper love for the Blessed Sacrament. But, here's the sad part, but souls do not even pay attention to me. They leave me to myself and busy themselves with other things. Oh, how sad. This is God speaking. This is Jesus. Oh, how sad I am that souls do not recognize love. They treat me as a dead object. As a priest, I would think, and anyone that thinks about their faith, you would think Holy Thursday night, all churches should be filled to the rafters, more so than even at Christmas, I think. Because this is the night. This is the night that we celebrate the very essence of our faith, the heart of Christ, here in the Eucharist. Praise God that you're here tonight. Yes, the Mass is later. Yes, we'll probably go to bed a little bit later. But what a gift that we're receiving in return. We're receiving God. And then the Lord says this to Faustina. My heart overflows with great love. A lot of times it's hard, I think, for us to relate to that. If we get caught like in our misery and all the junk maybe going on in our heart, anxieties, worries, and fears, and things like that. And we forget one simple truth. You and I are the object of God's love. When you're in love with someone, don't you tend to overlook different faults and failings? It's the same thing with Almighty God. Yes, confession is very important. He gave us that sacrament Easter Sunday night. But He loves us so much. A different gook sometimes is going on in our heart. God sometimes overlooks that. He's looking at you. He's loving. We're the object of His love. He said, I desire to bestow my graces upon souls. This is where free will comes in. But they do not want to accept them. And then He says to Faustina, a saint, you at least, you come to me as often as possible and take these graces that they do not want to accept. When you receive Holy Communion tonight, make this intention. Jesus, I know there's probably a lot more people who should be here tonight, and they're not here to receive the grace. But you know what, Jesus? I'm more than willing. Give me all the graces that they would have received if they were here tonight. We could do that. That's what our Lord said to Faustina. Isn't it nice? I like that. You know? Like if I had $1,000, I've given $1,000, everyone who comes tonight, and we got this $1,000, let's take $10 million. How about that? $10 million, all right? So you know what? So if there's two people there, we'd look at $5 million, right? Right? So our Lord, there's millions and millions of graces God's given tonight. And we are going to receive them. Why? Because we are here. Huh? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Anytime we go to Mass, we say thank God from the bottom of our heart. We say, oh, yeah, I'm at Mass. I'm a good person. No, no. Thank you, Jesus. I was smart enough to come into your presence. Thank you that I responded. You at least come to me as often as possible and take these graces that they do not want to accept. In this way, you will console my heart. And my dear friends, in a few minutes, the miracles will happen. Jesus will be here on an altar. And then shortly after that, he's going to be in your heart. Close your eyes. Forget about your neighbors, everything. Speak to the Lord. Speak to him of your worries, your troubles. Tell him that you love him. Tell him that you're sorry for all the times you haven't loved him the way you should have. Take the heart of Christ and say, Father, I offer you the love of Jesus to supply for my lack of loving you, for my defects in loving you. Father, I offer you the love of Jesus to supply for the lack of love my family has given you. That's what I'm praying here at Mass when I elevate at the through him with him. I'm saying, Father, I'm saying a lot of prayers, but I'm saying, Father, I offer you the heart of your son to supply for the lack of love that you received from this parish, from East Dubuque, from Menominee, from going on interceding. But you have to do that too for your family and your friends, those the Lord has put into your life. So today when we receive communion, ask Mary, ask St. Joseph, who first welcomed Jesus to the world, ask them to help you to receive Jesus, that he has a warm welcome. Then savor those moments after communion. Don't run out the door right away, unless there's some kind of medical emergency or something, but savor those moments. Savor those. And ask Jesus, I want all the graces. Lord, I'm not sure what grace you want to give them to me, but I want to receive them. Lord, I need healing. I want peace of heart. Lord, I'm always distracted in prayer. Give me the gift of prayer. Prayer from the heart. And so forth and so forth. So thank you, Lord, for the sacrament. Thank you for the priesthood. Help us ever to appreciate and love the gifts you give us. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Now at this time, I invite the Knights of Columbus, if you would please stand and go to the outer aisles. And for those who have your feet washed, you would come forward and then take one of your shoes off in the sock. And then we'll go down and wash your feet, starting from this side and back, okay?